This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When you run a small business, even the smallest decisions are stressful. But there's one that's easy. The decision to make your business better by switching to Vonage's award-winning cloud-based communication service. With seamless mobility between your devices so your employees can connect with your customers while on the go. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com to make the switch now. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or sign up at Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Outburst in Colorado. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Bruce Johnson, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Thursday, December 10. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The man accused of a deadly attack at a Colorado Springs Planned Parenthood nearly 2 weeks ago shocked the courtroom during an appearance yesterday.
Demonstrators in Chicago are calling for the resignation of Mayor Rahm Emanuel as he apologizes for a deadly police shooting.
Record-setting rains in the Pacific Northwest have now turned deadly. Plus, the forecast calls for more wet weather through the weekend.
And the extraordinary marketing power of Star Wars.
There is sort of a theory in Hollywood that, you know, for these big franchise films that have huge built-in fan bases, do we really need to do so much marketing? Couldn't we just essentially announce the release date and we'd have a hint in their hands? And if you use Star Wars, it's probably the perfect example. There's so much pent-up excitement for this movie. I think you could argue Star Wars would be a big hit even if they did no marketing.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Fritz on why Star Wars The Force Awakens might set box office records with minimal promotion from Disney. His report in about 20 minutes. The man accused of the Planned Parenthood shooting in Colorado Springs nearly 2 weeks ago made several outbursts during a court appearance yesterday. Robert Deer, who's 57, is charged in connection with the deaths of three people and the wounding of several others, facing 179 felony charges.
Feel the truth, huh?
But also,
kill the babies. That's what Planned Parenthood does.
Any objection to that?
He appeared in a courtroom in Colorado's El Paso County to face the charges, which include first-degree murder, attempted murder, and assault charges. Dan May is the district attorney.
I'm not going to comment on the defendant's behavior in court. I'm not sure it would be appropriate.
The Wall Street Journal described Mr. Deer as bearded, wild-eyed, and at times scowling at his lawyer. In another outburst, he said, quote, Planned Parenthood and my lawyer are in cahoots to shut me up. They don't want the truth out, adding, I am guilty. There will be no trial. I am a warrior for the babies. And here's the latest on the California couple who murdered 14 people at a holiday party in San Bernardino. The FBI now says the husband-wife team was discussing jihad and martyrdom online a year before they met in person. But there's no evidence Islamic militants arranged their marriage to facilitate an attack. FBI Director James Comey said yesterday that Syed Farouk and his wife, Tashfeen Malik, were each inspired by Islamic extremists before they became acquainted.
We're also working very hard to understand whether there was anybody else involved with assisting them, with supporting them, with equipping them. And we're working very, very hard to understand, did they have other plans, either for that day or earlier?
The precise origins of the couple's indoctrination in extremist ideology remains to be determined, but appear to date back about 2 years. Meanwhile, charges are expected to be brought against the couple's former neighbor, Enrique Marquez, who bought two of the guns used in the terror attack 8 days ago, a pair of AR-15 rifles. President Obama says it was clear that the husband-wife team that carried out the massacre in San Bernardino had, quote, gone down the dark path of radicalization, embracing a perverted interpretation of Islam. He did not speculate as to why people journey down that path or prescribe how the U.S. might deter or detour them. But that's what Patrick Tucker at Defense One has been looking at. He's technology editor there. Patrick, what have you found about why they join?
The reasons people in the Arab world cite for joining this organization are very different from some of the reasons that people cite from the West, from places like the United States and from Europe. So in the West, the number one catalyst for foreign fighters that were joining up with ISIS was jihad, and also a feeling of needing identity. Now, people from the Arab world who joined ISIS primarily, you know, these are foreign fighters, but they're Arab world foreign fighters primarily, they had a completely different set of reasons for joining ISIS. Many of them had to do with status, but many of the people that joined ISIS that were from Iraq and Syria cited revenge and a sense of justice. Now, what's amazing about that is that that shows that the feelings that people had that are Sunni, that live in Iraq and Syria, that's primarily what they're talking about. So when they say revenge, what they're really talking about is revenge against the Assad regime.
Oh, wow.
And these people were also very prone to pick financial reasons as a reason that they joined ISIS. We don't really think of ISIS as like a job, but in parts of Iraq and Syria, that's exactly what it is.
How about that? Wow. We're speaking with Patrick Tucker, technology editor at Defense One. His piece is called Why Do People Join ISIS? All right. So what could be done with this information now, Patrick, by, say, the Pentagon?
Well, so one of the things that they're looking to do with this is to more effectively counter ISIS propaganda on social media. And that means doing just basically sound marketing. Right? So this is more of a qualitative study than a quantitative one. It's very difficult to poll, you know, the population of ISIS and get a really truly, like, numerically representative sample, but this is a quality assessment of what these people are sort of thinking about. And so what you can do is you can target different people with different messages. If you're trying to reach the Sunni population, for instance, in Iraq and Syria, and you want to give them a message, you can give them a message that says, we understand the Assad regime has treated you terribly, and we look forward to a post-Assad reality for Syria. What it does is it allows the Pentagon to more effectively tailor its counter-ISIS messaging, but it also just gives us an insight into the strategies we've already undertaken that can be effective. If a lot of people cite finances that live in Iraq and Syria as a reason for joining ISIS, and that shows that continuing to target the financial networks, that's going to be effective.
All right, what about the idea that the Pentagon may not have a lot of credibility, say, among Sunnis, for example? I mean, would they need somebody else to craft the message and deliver it for them?
But this is something that the Pentagon is doing. So the State Department is really in charge of our counter-ISIS messaging campaign. It's called the Think Again, Turn Away campaign. Not only is it not particularly credible to people in the Middle East, it's also not particularly well-staffed. They have 65 people as part of the group that handles that, and only 20 of the people at the Center for Strategic Counterterrorism Communications are specifically on the Think Again, Turn Away campaign. About 5 of those people work for DOD. So they're not well-trusted, and it's not well-staffed. What the Pentagon's begun to do, and this is actually in the most recent National Defense Authorization Act bill, is go out to marketing firms, many of them based in the Middle East, and task them with this job of communicating with people, counter ISIS messaging online, and reach people that are communicating with ISIS to give them a different message. So that's really how you do it. You have to go find professionals that know what they're doing, rather than let sort of folks in the State Department attempt this. And this is going to be helpful in those activities.
Thanks, Patrick. Patrick Tucker, technology editor at Defense One. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. You have to deal with the traffic and the parking. It'll be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages, so you should use Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. You can buy official U.S. postage using your own computer, then print postage right at home for any letter or package the instant you need it. Then the mailman picks it up. It's that easy and so convenient. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in my last name, Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal. Thanks for spending time with us on this Thursday. The drenching storms in the Pacific Northwest have turned deadly. 2 women in Oregon have died during the intense weather, which has caused mudslides and flooding and knocked out power to tens of thousands. The National Weather Service says Portland has endured more than 5 inches of rain in 3 days, nearly as much as all of December in a typical year. Supposed to be wet right through the weekend, too. And Seattle has already exceeded its normal December rainfall total. The Portland Fire Department says a 60-year-old city woman died when a tree fell on her house. Another woman drowned yesterday when her car became submerged in standing water in a small northern town. Meanwhile, floodwaters poured through the front door of Sheila Kelly's home in southeast Portland.
It started flooding in. So I had all I could do to close the door back because I thought it was going to knock me down. That's how fast and swift the current was.
In Clackamas County, Oregon, firefighters waded through hip-deep water and used rafts to help rescue people trapped in their homes. More flooding, by the way, predicted for the Puget Sound area in Washington. It's 19 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Bruce Johnson is here. He has more of America's First News.
Good morning, Gordon. Calls continue for Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel's resignation following his address to the city council, in which he apologized for the fatal shooting of a black teen by a white police officer and pledged complete and total reform of the city's police department.
Nothing less than complete and total reform of the system and the culture that it breeds will meet the standard we have set for ourselves as a city.
Emanuel has repeatedly said he will not step down, but one Democratic state lawmaker is proposing a recall election. Friends and family will say goodbye today to one of 14 people killed last week in the massacre in San Bernardino. A funeral for 27-year-old Yvette Velasco will be held today in Covina. It's the first funeral service for one of the victims. A federal judge has ruled against Texas, saying it failed to show that extremists were slipping into the U.S. with Syrian refugees. The judge's ruling yesterday clears the way for the last of 21 Syrian refugees to resettle today in Houston. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's planned meeting with Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump later this month is turning into a bit of a headache. Netanyahu has rejected Trump's calls to bar foreign Muslims from entering the U.S., and Netanyahu says Israel respects all religions. Meanwhile, Trump was on ABC's Live with Kelly and Michael yesterday talking about all the criticism he's been getting from the GOP and the possibility of launching a third-party run.
If I don't get treated fairly, I would certainly consider that. In fact, they did a poll in one of the, I think it was USA Today, where they said 68% of the people that were Republicans right. would follow Trump if he went independent.
And Gordon, I heard you mention earlier about the new Star Wars movie coming out. Well, President Obama has compared the new film to the victory of the Jewish Maccabees over their ancient oppressors. In a celebration of Hanukkah attended by Israeli President Reuven Rivlin, Obama said that in both stories, the heroes, quote, prove that freedom can prevail over tyranny, hope can triumph over despair, and light can prevail over darkness. The comparison got a nervous laugh from the crowd at the first of two White House Hanukkah parties.
My goodness, that is quite the comparison.
Talk about going out on a limb.
Holy cow, I'm with you on that. Next week, Star Wars, The Force Awakens, right? 21 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 7799 at checkout. Code 7799.
Thanks for being with us. Good Thursday to you. Star Wars may be enough of a brand that it doesn't even need to be promoted by Disney before the release of The Force Awakens, which hits a week from tomorrow. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Fritz in Hollywood on the marketing power of Star Wars. Ben, what's up?
If you look at the actual advertising Disney has done, the traditional stuff you'd expect to see, television ads that they buy or billboards or so on, they're not doing a lot. They're not doing nothing, but it's not as big as some of the really big movies that you see, which is a surprise because Star Wars is, you know, on track according to all the surveys and research to be the biggest movie of the year. So how are people so psyched that it's how do they know it? And actually, what I found is a lot of the marketing is being done for them by partners. There's been a record amount of spending by brand partners, which are other companies that are sort of allowed to partner on Star Wars and feature Star Wars in ads they make. Companies like Verizon and General Mills and Chrysler have been doing those kind of ads, essentially doing Disney's work for it.
Wow. Is it possible that Disney could actually not spend any money and still set all kinds of records for Star Wars?
Right, so that's not what they're doing, but there is sort of a theory in Hollywood that, you know, for these big franchise films that have huge built-in fan bases, do we really need to do so much marketing? Couldn't we just essentially announce the release date and we'd have a hint in their hands? And if you Star Wars is probably the perfect example. There's so much pent-up excitement for this movie from people who saw the original trilogy as kids or as, you know, young adults at the time and want to take their own children now. I think you could argue Star Wars would be a big hit even if they did no marketing. But instead, I think it's probably going to be a blockbuster, a massive hit, you know, helped partially by Disney's marketing, but really by all the other companies that are hyping it up for them.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Fritz. His piece is entitled "Star Wars Carries Its Own Marketing Weight for Disney." Any idea what Disney might ultimately wind up spending?
It's tough to say exactly. So far, you know, the only, you know, outside companies, this company iSpot in particular, keeps track of television advertising. And they found that through Monday, Disney spent $17 million on TV advertising. They're definitely going to spend, you know, more in the next couple of weeks before the movie finally opens. And they've also spent more on, you know, billboards and bus ads and on the online and maybe even a little bit in print and so on. But I would be surprised if Disney even hits that $50 million average mark. They're probably going to be on the low end of that, maybe $40 million or so. You know, and again, because they're getting such a big boost from all their partners.
That's unbelievable. Wow. This, I guess, yeah, sets the table for more Star Wars films, I guess?
Yes, absolutely. You know, yeah. So Disney's releasing a new Star Wars movie every year going forward, you know, until people get sick of them. And, you know, I think you'll see different approaches in the future. This is, again, there's so much pent-up excitement. It's been a long time since the Star Wars movie, 10 years, and so 30-plus years since there's been a really good Star Wars movie. So, but, you know, in a year or two, people have, you know, they've gotten used to Star Wars. They saw the last one. It's not such a big deal when it's coming out. Disney's going to have to be, I think, a little bit more aggressive in their marketing to make Star Wars Episode 8 or Star Wars spinoff number 2 or 3 to make that a must-see for audiences.
All right, so these other kind of partner groups, like, say, Walmart, for example, are they spending a typical amount, say, on a blockbuster film?
No. So the amount of money spent on ads, they're called co-branded ads. Like they both advertise a product and they say Star Wars The Force Awakens, you know, in theaters December 18th. That amount is already, I believe it's more than $30 million has been spent on those ads so far, which is $38 million, I should say, how much has been spent so far. That's an all-time record, according to iSpot. Just, you know, TV ads by other companies that, you know, are these brand partners. And then on top of that, you have companies that are selling Star Wars products. They're not doing co-branded ads for the film, but maybe they're advertising a Star Wars video game or a Star Wars toys available for sale now. And that still makes people think about Star Wars, probably makes them more interested in the film. That's already $51 million that's been spent on that through early December. I think if Disney felt that they had to spend, you know, $100 million, you know, just domestically to make this a massive hit, or $500 million worldwide, they'd do it. Because remember, they spent $4 billion to buy a Lucasfilm, and they're going to do what it takes to make Star Wars, you know, a new hit franchise for the world. But they're actually sensing, you know, there's so much excitement for Star Wars, there's almost a danger of overdoing it. If people are like, oh, I can't get away from this. All I hear, you know, they're just assaulting me with these ads. People would, you know, it might actually hurt their chances. They have to be very careful. So I think there's kind of a confluence of what's the right strategy and, hey, how can we save some money?
Thanks, Ben. Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Fritz in Hollywood. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Did you know that the average cost for a family of four to attend a professional baseball game is over $200? At the same time, over 40% of all sports, concert, and theater tickets go unsold. So how come we're all paying so much when so many seats go empty? I'm Adam Kanner, founder of ScoreBig.com. We found a way to work directly with teams and venues to get their unsold seats and pass the huge savings on to you. On ScoreBig.com, we guarantee you'll save on great sports, concert, and theater tickets. And we're not talking about last-minute nosebleed seats to events you don't want to see, but millions of great seats for the best events, days, weeks, even months in advance. On ScoreBig.com, when you successfully name a ticket price, on average, you'll save over 33% below box office price each time you buy, with no added fees or shipping charges ever. There are lots of places to buy tickets, but if you really want to save, then check out ScoreBig.com.
And now save even more at ScoreBig.com. Click on the radio mic and enter code 2255, and we'll take an additional $30 off your ticket purchase. That's ScoreBig.com, promo code 2255.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, December 10. Gordon Deal with Bruce Johnson, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The San Bernardino terrorists discussed jihad before they married. Deadly weather in the Pacific Northwest. Demonstrators call for the ouster of Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel. North Korea says it's developed a hydrogen bomb. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is Time Magazine's Person of the Year. United Airlines is bringing back an old freebie. Details on that in about 15 minutes. And why singles flock to a small town in Ireland. We'll have that report in about 20 minutes. Tomorrow is the deadline for funding the U.S. government, but we haven't heard much about that lately. Are we headed for another shutdown? Here's Paul Singer, Washington correspondent at USA Today. Paul, I thought we solved much of this last month.
Back in November, they struck a deal on a two-year budget plan, and the whole idea was, and they also, by the way, at that time, raised the debt ceiling. And the whole idea was, well, there you go. You've solved the government shutdown problem, and you've solved the government default problem. The thing is, the budget deal was just an outline. Congress now has to pass the legislation that actually implements all of the spending that was laid out in that deal.
Wow. All right. So, like, the carving up of specific dollars, that's what happens now? Everybody has, like, allotted a chunk. Now we got to divide it up?
The theoretical normal is you Congress passes appropriations bills for each agency. There's actually 12 appropriations bills that cover, you know, groups of agencies. And in those bills, you go into some detail. How much can you spend for the Clean Air program at EPA? How much can you spend for the National Labor Relations Board? And all those things are dollar figures. They've passed some of those bills out of the committees, but they haven't passed Congress. They haven't been signed by the president. Now they're trying to wrap them all up into an omnibus bill, which basically is all of them at once. And then, of course, beyond the dollars, there are the things that Congress wants to do through legislative language and add to this bill as well, and that gets uglier and uglier as you go.
Wow. Is that what is referred to as riders in your story?
Yes. The Democrats refer to them as poison pill riders. But, you know, every appropriations bill has some of these. You know, none of the funds in this bill shall be used to pay for torture. That's been in an appropriations bill. You know, and it's a way of basically, if you couldn't pass legislation, standalone legislation on, pick a topic, you know, any topic at all, if you couldn't pass legislation saying, well, you know, we shouldn't have a torture program, you can slip one sentence into an appropriations bill saying you can't use any of this money to pay for torture.
Got it. We're speaking with Paul Singer, Washington correspondent at USA Today. His piece is called, Are We Headed Toward Another Government Shutdown? So Friday's the deadline. This is not all going to get done by then, I presume? Is that why?
That is correct.
So now what?
That is correct. So now, those of us who have worked in Capitol Hill for a while never really expected Friday to be the real deadline.
Okay.
Both chambers are expected to adjourn the 18th, which is, the following Thursday. They'll pass a short-term spending bill sometime this week to cover the next few days while they see if they can hammer out a broad deal. If we get to next Wednesday or Thursday and there is no agreement on which of these riders the administration and the Democrats can swallow and which ones they can't, if we don't have a deal on that, then I start to worry as we get towards Wednesday and Thursday.
Is there one issue, Paul, that is more prevalent or dividing than another?
I think, you know, at the moment, probably Syrian refugees. The Republicans would like to bar any funding being used to resettle Syrian refugees in the U.S. That is a hot topic and a big one. There's some abortion riders on this bill, I think, that are going to be big issues to fight out. But those are really, and of course, there's always this conversation about, can you defund Planned Parenthood?
Yeah.
But I think that's more likely to be dealt with elsewhere. But, you know, abortion and Syrian refugees, those are two good issues to watch. I suspect those will be the major sticking points. And if you can resolve those, you can probably resolve the rest of them.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Singer, Washington correspondent at USA Today. 21 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Thanks for being with us. A good Thursday to you. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, dog recently adopted by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is apparently well on her way to causing an international incident. Reuters reported that Kaya, the family's 10-year-old mixed breed, bit two visitors at a Hanukkah candlelighting ceremony yesterday, including the husband of the deputy foreign minister. Netanyahu's son took the dog in from a rescue home earlier this year. The prime minister posted a picture on Twitter in August urging dog lovers to seek out adult canines to adopt, saying, "You won't regret it." Now, this could have just been a bad day for Kaya, who has met several dignitaries before, including U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. Kerry is believed to have escaped unharmed.
Are you of the mind that dogs have a very good judgment of character ability?
Like maybe this was someone who was who's not gotten along with Mr. Netanyahu?
Possibly.
someone who came in with a bad energy or a bad vibe into the home, that kind of thing?
Or this person who's not a dog person, perhaps, and Kaya knew it.
Someone who was maybe a little afraid, showing their fear, that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, dogs can do that, for sure. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know exactly the relationship between the two, but maybe Kaya was justified in acting out. And a video Gordon posted from a high school basketball game in Minnesota has helped make Oman, yes, that is his real name, Oman, social media famous and may even help his chances of landing a basketball scholarship. The junior made an unbelievable shot to win a game for the Austin Packers on Tuesday. According to the team's blog, the Packers were down by 2 points with only 1.6 seconds left. As an opposing player missed a free throw, Oman grabbed the rebound, chucked the ball across the court, and then pandemonium ensued. I love the woman in the background, who I think is the one who's actually taking the film.
Yeah, what
she's
is
going,
she saying?
She's going, "Oh my God, oh my God." And she did a great job of keeping the camera steady because the whole place is going crazy.
Right, right.
And she did a great, if that's her, did a great job of keeping the camera steady while she was obviously visibly very emotional about the whole thing.
It's funny because you can hear the clock go off.
Yeah.
Then the crowd.
Right.
Which gives you a sense of like how long the ball actually traveled in the air. Right?
I think the ball was only right about mid-court when the buzzer went off, and then finally came swooshing in. So, by the way, that buzzer beater improved the team's record to 4-0 so far this season. And yes, that was a member of the Packers winning another game with a Hail Mary.
Very good.
So how about that?
Very good. Nicely done.
Nice work out of Oman.
By the way, can I just bring up a social media thing?
Okay.
Kind of out of nowhere. The number of intelligent people on my Facebook feed who are posting this idiotic thing about Mark Zuckerberg giving away his billions. I mean, are you kidding me?
This happens every time.
Right? Let me just if you haven't seen it, let me reline from it. It says, "Thank you, at Mark Zuckerberg." Mark Zuckerberg has announced that he is giving away $45 billion of Facebook stock. What you may not have heard is that he plans to give 10% of it away to people like you and me. There must be a dozen people fully educated on my Facebook page who have posted this.
You know what's great, though, about these things when they happen is that they become sort of a litmus test, and you can decide who you're going to keep as a friend in the new year. We got a new year coming up.
Right.
So you can decide, you know, these are people that are going to stay in 2016, and these are people that are going
to
go.
These are related to the emails you get, right, of you're somehow related to a friend in Syria who has to dump millions, and they have chosen you. to be the go-between.
I'm looking forward to the next one, because every 2 months or so, there's another one of these that pops up, and the same people fall for them.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. It is 13 minutes in front of the hour.
We'd love to welcome a new sponsor to the show, All and Sundry, a modern men's shoe company with an old-world vision. My friend Nick and his team make the finest handcrafted custom shoes, shoes your grandfather would be proud of. All and Sundry creates a unique experience where you select your style of shoe, whether for work or play. Then you choose the material, add custom features like eye stays, then select a color. They source all the materials and build each one by hand. Without a middleman, you get the savings. No more outrageous markups. If you're a shoe guy, All and Sundry is for you. If you're not, you might change your mind after seeing All and Sundry. Right now, get a 10% discount on a gift card for the holidays. Visit allandsundry.com and enter the promo code DEAL at checkout. That's A-W-L and sundry.com. Then enter DEAL at checkout. All and Sundry, stylish and modern shoes with craftsmanship a grandfather would be proud of. Again, allandsundry.com and enter code DEAL.
Thanks for being with us. How about this? Free snacks are returning to United Airlines. The airline announced yesterday that we'll offer free snacks for flights within North America and Latin America beginning in February. Customers on flights departing before 9:45 in the morning will get a Stroop waffle. That's a Dutch waffle filled with caramel. If your flight's later than that, you get gut busters like rice crackers, sesame sticks, mini pretzel sticks, and soy nuts. Yeah, don't ruin your appetite with those. United, by the way, is ending a nearly 10-year run of charging for snacks. 8 minutes before the hour on this morning, Bruce Johnson is back with more of America's First News.
The man accused of killing three people at a Colorado Planned Parenthood has called himself a warrior for the babies. Robert Louis Deer also blurted out in a court hearing yesterday that he is guilty and won't go on trial. FBI Director James Comey says investigators believe the couple who carried out the San Bernardino shootings had talked about committing terrorism as early as 2 years ago.
Online, as late as early as the end of 2013, they were talking to each other about jihad and martyrdom before they became engaged and then married and lived together in the United States.
Comey made his comments yesterday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Torrential rains in parts of the Pacific Northwest are blamed for at least two deaths, power outages, flooded roads, and mudslides. Steve Curry lives near the Puyallup River in Washington State. He was watching the water move in on him.
I crept up real slow. Kept thinking it wasn't going to quite make it in, and then here it comes right into the door.
More rain is on the way today for the Pacific Northwest. One of the world's most famous Muslim sports icons is criticizing Donald Trump's call for banning Muslims from entering the U.S. Basketball legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote in a Time.com essay that Trump has become a candidate who, quote, preys on the fears of the public, doing ISIS's job for them, end quote. Japanese brands dominate the insurance industry's rankings of the safest vehicles for the 2016 model year. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says 48 vehicles earned its highest rating of Top Safety Pick Plus. Toyota, Honda, and Subaru have the most winners. And Gordon, a new study says being happy apparently has no effect on how long you might live. Previous studies have linked happiness to longevity, but researchers now say there is no such scientific connection. So while being sick makes you unhappy, just being grouchy is not enough to make you ill or shorten your life.
Well, I like my odds of being happy extending my longevity.
Yeah, I would go with that.
It's a much easier way to live.
Exactly.
And you can deal with the grouches much better.
Yes.
If they surround you in your life, for example.
That is a template that we all should follow.
I'm with you. Thank you, Bruce. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Did you know that more and more businesses are switching to Vonage? Seems like they know something you don't know. Like how they can unify all their offices nationwide on their own private connection to the cloud. Or maybe they know they're saving tons of headaches by eliminating unwieldy PBX phone systems. Or that Vonage's award-winning cloud-based mobility solutions allow their employees to communicate from any device, including their desk phone, desktop, laptop, mobile, or tablet, keeping them connected to customers while on the go. It's no wonder so many businesses are switching to Vonage. So what are you waiting for? Don't just switch to any cloud. Switch to Vonage's award-winning cloud service. Make the switch to better.
call 1-800-5-VONAGE or visit Vonage.com and find out all you need to know about why so many businesses are switching. That's 1-800-5-VONAGE or Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
Singles, weary of dating websites and apps, find themselves rejuvenated each fall in a tiny former spa town in Ireland called Lisdunvarna. Fun story in the Wall Street Journal by our friend Shirley Wong. This year, an estimated 60,000 singles descended there for some part of the town's matchmaking festival, a six-week-long extravaganza of music and dance. The Journal says matchmaking has become a cottage industry for the town of some 700 people. Some turn to Willie Daly, who many call Ireland's last traditional matchmaker. From his experience in over 50 years, Mr. Daly estimates thousands will pair up after meeting in Lisdunvarna, and more than 100 couples will eventually marry. For 10 euros, they fill out a sheet asking for basic information. During festival time, he meets with singles at a pub, shocker, primarily during the day about their criteria, and keeps his eyes sharp for possible matches while walking around town. His motto, by the way, you may be an old shoe, but there's a stocking to fit you. That'll do it for this hour. For Bruce Johnson, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.